This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer,
but it is a highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious Podcast, your weekly crypto crash course. Every Wednesday, join us in the dynamic world of cryptocurrency as we cover everything from major news stories to short, sharp news bites. Whether you're starting out in crypto or a veteran, we've got you covered. Tune in, laugh and learn. It's crypto made easy. Today on the show, we talk about the Ethereum upgrade and what it actually means to the broader network. We take a deeper look into who is Satoshi. We do know as of this week, it's not Craig Wright. And we have a mover and shaker of the year. My name's Tracy and I'm joined by Craig calling the top all year, Jackson, and Blake, words of wisdom, Cassidy. How you going, guys?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very well. How are you going, Craig?
I'm going good, Trace, even though we've had a bit of a sell-off, a bit of panic stations. But that's healthy. I think we've been waiting for this for a while. So it's come and it's here now.
And you know what was good? It came right after we did our episode last week talking about market cycles and how these sell-offs work, which was Bitcoin and Ethereum have a sell-off and these alts get slammed. And that's what happened, Blake, wasn't it?
Exactly right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I literally said last week, this market hasn't really seen a big dip just yet. And then that was obviously the sign.
There we go. Craig the Oracle.
Craig the Oracle.
Oh, okay, let's get into our top story, which is the Ethereum upgrade, which happened, the Denken upgrade. So for those who don't understand, let's talk a little bit about the Ethereum network and how that interacts with what we call the layer twos.
That's right, Trace. I can kind of break it down a little bit with an analogy that we've used before. And you know, when it gets really busy like it is right now, Ethereum and other blockchains become really expensive to use, where you can pay, you know, $100, $200, $500 a transaction if you're doing particular things. And as a result of that, you know, there's been projects that have built something called Layer 2 solutions on top of Ethereum, which allows for you to transact on a sidechain or on another network. And then it be hashed back or rolled back to Ethereum for security or settlement. And you know, the way that you could describe this is that Ethereum's kind of like a congested city. Everyone's trying to get around and there's no infrastructure for public transport and there's no above ground freeways. And so the layer twos are really like this. It's like the subway or it's like a tram or it's like an overpass. Allowing people to move around the city in a congestion-free way. You know, these services now, as a result of the Denken upgrade, were costing, you know, 30 cents to $2 to use, but now you can actually use them for cents. Some of the layer two solutions to transact on, you can, I think, are even giving away free transactions. It's so cheap.
So we talked last week about a couple of them being Arbitron, Polygon. Who else did we talk
there's
about?
There's ZK Sync. Yep. There's Optimism.
Yeah, so there's a few there. And you mentioned, so Arbitrum now is zero gas fees?
Yeah, Arbitrum's zero gas fees. Yeah, and it's a massive step. Now, this is quite different to blockchain like Solana, where Solana has been built with this kind of throughput in mind where fees always kind of stay low and, you know, they can do 100,000 transactions a second.
Very quick.
Or whatever they're doing. Solana is a few years younger than Ethereum. You know, Ethereum has the network effect. There's more people using it. There's more infrastructure. It's more robust. It's tried and tested. So they're the differences.
Just follow up from that, Blake. People will just say, you know, why don't you just use Solana? And I think Ethereum's main proposition is that it is the most decentralized and the most secure net blockchain, maybe the most besides Bitcoin. So, which is why we've seen the birth of these layer two networks. And Vitalik, the Ethereum founder, has said that Ethereum cannot scale without layer twos. So we've seen off this, and we'll talk about it in, you know, the short, sharp news bites, but these zero gas fees represents potentially a whole nother era for Ethereum. Arbitrum's just launched their gaming fund. I think it's $400 million that they'll be putting into this. Mm. Obviously, there's Immutable, which is Aussie homegrown. They're a layer two. You know, this is going to be a whole new world for ETH, and it's going to be really interesting to see which layer two takes a lot of the market share. I know Coinbase's base network has absolutely skyrocketed with activity, and it's funny how this sort of really bullish thing that feels like we've been waiting years for has happened, and then the market sort of used it as a bit of a sell-off. But yeah, what do you think, Trace?
Well, so this is the third of, I think it's five upgrades to the Ethereum network. It was a second major, sorry, of five, and the other three are still to come over the next 18 months. So some major stuff still to come for Ethereum. Obviously, there's a lot of chat around Ethereum and the spot ETF that still hangs in the balance. So a lot more to come on Ethereum. And I think we'll leave that one there, boys. Moving on to our second story, a judge in the UK has ruled against Craig Wright, who for years has claimed that he is Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented Bitcoin. Now, this has basically been a never-ending soap opera with Craig Wright as one of the most controversial characters. And in the latest twist, they have said in no uncertain terms that Craig Wright is confirmed yet again, because this has happened before, not to be Satoshi, the man behind Bitcoin.
No surprise here, but maybe for the listener's benefit, Craig Wright grew up in Sydney. He was involved in the cypherpunk movement, you know, when Bitcoin was established by Satoshi Nakamoto. And he was a very, very early advocate and participant and supporter of the technology. He has been claiming for many years that he is the, you know, he is Satoshi Nakamoto, or the pseudo-anonymous founder of Bitcoin. And as a result of that, he's, you know, tried to create patents on Bitcoin. He's tried to win court cases and all sorts of things to really prove that he is the founder of Bitcoin. But again and again, this gets disproved, but he keeps fighting it. And I've seen Craig speak a few times at different conferences over the years. And he's...
How's he come across?
Very arrogant.
How do I know you're going to say that? Yeah. I think he also, when he starts to talk or when people mention him, he just kind of, he's the guy you roll your eyes at, really, isn't he? And I think there's been many ways that he has been able to kind of outright prove that it's him, but he has not done that.
Like, yeah. He's done crazy things, like tried to sign transactions from wallets that had early, you know, affiliation with Satoshi and things like this, and tried to prove it from a technical point of view, but has failed to do so.
What does he get out of claiming to be Satoshi? Just curious. Why?
I think he's able to patent it, it's my understanding, as well as that he gives him other rights.
Okay.
You know, so as we all know, Satoshi Nakamoto's crypto wallet has over, you know, a million bitcoins
BTC, yeah.
Worth, what, 100 billion? Yeah, if Bitcoin's worth $1 trillion, he has about 10% of the network.
Someone just said to him, if you've got it, move some of it. It's never been moved, it hasn't been touched since, you know, ever.
He's lost his keys.
I think the claim is he's lost the keys, yeah.
Oh, right. Well, then for those listening who don't know much about this, that is the point, that no one does know who it is, and those haven't been moved or touched at all.
Mm.
It's very easy for us to see this is the blockchain after all. We don't know who Satoshi is. It does remain a mystery, Craig.
Remains a mystery, but my favourite conspiracy is that it's Hal Finney. Who has actually died, but he received the first Bitcoin transaction.
Yep.
He lived in the same town for 10 years as a guy called Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yeah.
The story gets crazy, and I think whoever it may be, I think it's probably in their best interest to be secretive.
Well, as well as that, there's another theory that it could have been a group of people. Yep. You know, it might not have been just one person. It could have been a few people working on the project together.
Do you think we'll ever find out?
I hope not. It keeps the story quite mythical, I think.
Yeah, that's what I love. I love it. I hope we don't. But hasn't the whole Bitcoin and the story changed so much from 2008 and what the cypherpunks wanted this to be? It's taken on a whole life of its own with DeFi, with Ordinals. Look what's happening on Bitcoin right now.
Yeah, well, you know, something that I thought about the other day was that, you know, there's a lot of people in the Bitcoin ecosystem that don't want to see Bitcoin used for anything else except for a payment network or that was described in the Bitcoin white paper as a peer-to-peer digital cash.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, they don't really support inscriptions on the Bitcoin blockchain. But what's really interesting is that Satoshi Nakamoto himself inscribed something on the first block.
Oh, yes, he said, the newspaper article.
Yeah, he said, Chancellor on the brink of
that's
a second
bailout.
That's a
very good point. Love that.
So, you know, it's great to see that even Satoshi, you know, it might not have been in the white paper or an explicit use of Bitcoin, but even he used it in that way.
It was a hint for what we could do in the future. Oh, nice work, Blake. Love that. Okay, there you go. Satoshi remains a mystery. Moving on, folks, to our mover and shaker of the week. Everyone loves a crypto pump, and when we see one, we'll feature that cryptocurrency token or project that's grabbing attention and popularity in the market. We'll share the reason why it's on the rise and what utility and value it might hold. This week, we're taking a look at the mover and shaker of the year. We're looking at Solana. It has had a run. It is up 771% for the last 12 months. So we thought it was worth it because it had so many news stories this week. It is currently flipped the BNB Binance token to now move into the fourth spot by market cap. So there's a lot going on at the moment as to why this has happened. Who wants to jump in?
I'll jump in and just give a bit of a lesson about Solana. Solana's up, 700% over the last year. And I think we can probably credit FTX for their huge sell-off that actually brought Solana down to $9 in the bear market.
Was it nine? Did it go to nine?
It went down to $9. $9.96, $10 it went in, you know, January 2023. So
it's up to and 200 now.
Now it's at 200, yeah.
This is one of the ones that got hit the hardest. So it's like all the Solana FTX tokens got hit the hardest. And funny enough, they've come back the hardest. So the big narrative right now, guys, is the meme coin frenzy on Solana. Have you guys been dabbling in this? So there's been a couple of meme coins on Solana that have gone absolutely bonkers. Dog with Hat, which we've discussed a few weeks ago. Book of Meme Presale.
Bonk.
Bonk. And now the last 24 hours, which has been stuff out of a movie called Slurf. Have you guys heard about this debacle?
No.
Slurf? Do you want me to tell you, Trace?
Go for it.
Not really, but tell us quickly. Give us the abridged version.
Abridged version. Okay, guys. So there's this meme coin called Slurf, and it's a
sloth.
It's a sloth picture, and the dev ran a pre-sale to give away $10 million worth of tokens as part of the pre-sale. Now, generally what happens with a pre-sale is that pre-sale money is used for a liquidity pool so people can buy and sell without, you know, pumping it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he accidentally burnt $10 million worth of Solana tokens. Burnt in quotation marks. People are saying that this is the greatest
marketing
stunt ever pulled. So Slurf launches with no liquidity and people see this happening in real time. He tweets in brackets, F word. And it gets pumped to like $800 million market cap overnight. It dumped down to $200 million market cap and now it's back up to $700 because people are saying it's the fairest launch in meme coin history besides Doge. So this is insane, guys, and I do have a confession.
What's your confession?
I did buy some and I sold some just before I got on the show. So I bought it for the culture. And
bought it for the
turns
culture.
Out these meme coins are popping off. Mm. People are using Telegram bots. Apparently, definitely not me, to buy these meme coins that are just launched on Solana. And it's just pushing the demand It's going crazy.
There's so many out there. It's disgusting, really.
Yeah.
But just to get back to Solana for a minute, you know, Solana is working really well at the moment. There's a lot of activity on the network. And SBF was right. I think that those prison guards that bought his tip a few weeks ago, they've done pretty well this year. And maybe they could quit their jobs.
I forgot about that. That's gold.
That is funny.
Well, there you go. That's our mover and shaker, Solana. Now we know why it's been moving and shaking. That's a great spot for a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back after this with our short, sharp news bites.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You know what, guys, before we move on, I want to talk about this. One of the top signals that we always talk about is meme coins popping off. We're seeing that happening now, and I'm really confused about where we are in the cycle.
Well, because it's the culture. It's never going to leave. It's gambling.
Gambling.
Yeah.
But I might say that, yes, we are at the start of the cycle for the next phase, but those people that have stayed in the ecosystem for the last 2, 3, 5 years, they should be well in profit now. Everyone should be in profit and they're willing to. So there's, you have different cohorts in the ecosystem moving through these cycles and they're at different points, you know?
Like, you can't classify Doge as a meme coin anymore.
It's blue chip.
It's got utility.
It's got utility. It's got utility.
Well, you can buy your Tesla with it now. So welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast as we get into our short, sharp news bites this week. And I'm passing over to Balake off the cuff. Here we go.
All right. We have a $190 billion wealth manager greenlit the listing of 4 Bitcoin ETFs on their platform. Cetera Financial Group will now let its advisors sell Bitcoin ETF to their customer bases. So this is huge. I think we've been talking about this. It's just going to happen more and more. More and more financial institutions will be picking these products up and punting them to their customers.
How many more are out there with those numbers, though? That's huge.
Oh, I'd say there'd be hundreds. Yeah.
Good times. Okay, moving on. So there's been a bold prediction from Standard Chartered as to how high Bitcoin will actually go. They've cast a prediction saying that it could soar to 150,000 per Bitcoin in 2024. This forecast comes at a time when I guess we've just had a little bit of a pullback, but we're still all super excited about the rally that we've just seen. They also went on to say that they thought Bitcoin could reach 250,000 in 2025. So that is probably the biggest prediction that we've seen from a company like that come out in writing, which is pretty huge.
Yeah, and that's in USD, guys. So
in USD, so
that gets us to about 383,000 AUD for Bitcoin.
Is that what it is, 383,000?
Yeah.
Wow, there we go. What's up next, Craig?
We spoke about this before, but I did want to touch on it again. Arbitrum's launched a $400 million crypto gaming fund. They've proposed it to the DAO, so if you do have any Arbitrum tokens, you can actually jump on and vote if you want. So the whole purpose of this fund is to encourage builders and publishers to create video games using its blockchain. Now, we know that AAA games do take years to develop, so I suspect, you know, hopefully they get a few good ones on there.
Next up, Coinbase shares took a dip after they came out and said that they'll be raising $1 billion via a convertible note. They said they're going to be using this to repay some of their debts. I didn't know that they had substantial debts, but apparently they're going to need $1 billion to pay them down. You know, hopefully they are also buying crypto because the repayment date for that loan is in 2030. So that would give them plenty of time to, you know, hopefully take advantage of the market momentum.
Which is up. Okay. NFT Chill, the Bored Ape Yacht Club and Pudgy Penguins are taking a bit of a nosedive at the moment, and artifacts over on the Bitcoin network are soaring in popularity. So these NFTs that I mentioned on Ethereum are definitely having a cool down, and their floor price has taken a dip in the last week. And this is just the trend that is happening at the moment in the broader community. A lot of people are looking to what is more popular at the moment, which is the ordinals, which is over on the Bitcoin blockchain. As I'm reading this, getting typed in front of me, I told you so.
Yeah.
Who's guys, typing that, Blake?
I'd noticed there's a footnote on this story.
Yes, saying, I told you so. I'd also like to make note that myself and Craig Jackson have the last 2 or 3 years talking about NFTs, where Blake's not been interested whatsoever, and then all of a sudden, maybe 6 months ago, the table turned and he's telling us about puppets on ordinals, and he was correct, I will say. So that's what's happened. It's definitely slowed down, definitely not dead over there on Ethereum, but all of everyone's looking over towards ordinals.
Would you guys bet on a comeback, NFTs on Ethereum?
I reckon that there's going to be more and more competition because all of the chains that are Bitcoin compatible, lots of the blockchains that we know and
exactly.
love, they're basically copies of Bitcoin. The code bases are the same. So now that we see NFTs on Bitcoin, we're going to see them on Dogecoin. We're going to see them on Monero. We're going to see them on all of the chains. And they're going to have their own communities, you know, reverting back to buying and trading NFTs on the chains that they know and love.
The dog with hat meme, the iconic photo of that dog with a hat, was sold on as an Ethereum NFT for an eye-watering $4.3 million. I don't really get why this is happening, but it's happening. It reminds me of that. Who's that artist from the last cycle that just kept selling NFTs for heaps of money?
Oh, Beeple.
Beeple. This reminds me of the Beeple vibe.
Well, Beeple was an artist. This is a picture of a dog with a hat.
That is art.
Oh, okay. All right, very good.
Sorry, Craig.
Yep, and just one more here. While we're on that, this was a very popular ordinals collection called Ruinstone. This was airdropped to people who use their ecosystem, their participants. Around 100,000 of these were airdropped. Ruinstones will then transform into Ruin tokens. And this is just kind of an unusual way of doing things over on the ordinals blockchain here. Like, again, that's the thing about the ordinals and the Bitcoin blockchain. There's unusual and different ways you can do things over there that haven't been seen before.
I saw these being traded. I thought it was in relation to a game, but it's clearly not. And they're trading for, what, $1,200
now? $1,200 now. Wow. Yeah, madness. I know. There you go.
One thing I'll cover off, guys, is the hotly anticipated Tensor NFT marketplace. It's been rumored that they're going to have an airdrop soon. They currently have around 33% of the NFT market share on Solana mostly, but I know they do use Ethereum and Bitcoin as well. So that's going to be a really hotly anticipated airdrop, and it's going to be interesting to see where that ends up in terms of market cap. So that's going to be one to watch, Trace.
There you go. Interesting. I think on that, we'll leave it there for this week, folks. Thanks for diving into this crypto world with us today. If you enjoyed the journey, then bring a friend along for next week's episode. We're all part of this evolving crypto narrative together. Keep exploring and be back with us again next week. Until then, stay curious, stay connected. You can do this by joining the Crypto Curious Facebook group or our Instagram page. Be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to the podcast right now. If you're looking to DCA into the crypto market, plan to have a look at the Bamboo app. Don't forget to use the code CURIOUS for $10 of free Bitcoin to get you started. There's a link in the show notes below. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services License 540697.